Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Richard Rossi Live. Today I'm honored to have a fantastic female director, Darla Rae, an inspiration to many of you out there that want to get into directing. Her stories or films are very inspirational. And we met in a very interesting way. Our first features as directors were kind of linked. I got a DVD of my film Sister Amy when it came out in the Blockbusters, and I put it in to watch it. And lo and behold, Darla's first feature, The Goal, was in the trailers before my film. And I thought, I'd like to meet this Darla Rae that made this film. The Goal touched me because it was about a disabled young man. A man had an accident and ended up in a wheelchair. Yet overcame this. And my best friend in high school, who was a fantastic athlete, John Walker, had the same experience, became a quadriplegic. I thought, man, I'd love to meet her. And somehow that week, I forget how it happened, but somehow we got in touch that week, or I heard from her or someone who knew her on Facebook. But anyways, we'll be back in about 20 seconds, and you'll really enjoy getting to know Darla Rae today. And we'll be back with Darla Rae in about 20 seconds on Richard Rossi Live. Welcome back to Richard Rossi Live, and welcome, Darla.
Hi, Richard. How are you? Thanks for having me.
You're welcome. You're welcome. Well, I'm doing great, and I'm real excited about all the things happening for you, and just you've been so busy with the different films you've made, and you're a master juggler because you, like all indie directors, you have to, you know, market one film while you're simultaneously developing another film.
True.
That's what you're doing right now, because Spirit of Love is now finished and you're out there marketing that film. Very inspiring film. For those that don't know, why don't you tell them about Mike Glynn and Spirit of Love?
Sure. Spirit of Love is really a great story. And how it came to me is Mike's a retired NBA player, and Mike started the first ever basketball camp for deaf and hard of hearing, and he's been running it now. It's going to be like 35 years, and a couple of his coaches brought me the story, and eventually, you know, God kind of dropped the brick on my head and said, "Yeah, you need to do this story." So it's really about how Mike teaches life lessons through the game of basketball, and we were able to make the film and bring in all of these kids who had never acted before, deaf and hard of hearing kids, working with hearing kids. And it was just a beautiful thing to watch on the set, because at the end of the day, everybody realized, you know what? At the end of the day, these kids, it doesn't matter what their disabilities are. They're just teenagers. And, you know, it's really about inclusion and bridging the gap between the deaf and hard of hearing community and the hearing communities. And, you know, we're just privileged to tell Mike's story and help raise awareness for what he does, because his camps they're still free after, you know, 35 years. They are still free for these kids to attend his camp. And it was just amazing story to watch unfold and how it all came together. So that's what it is. And we're out there, like you said, we're marketing it now. We've done some festivals and won some great awards and, you know, just trying to raise awareness for what it is Mike does and be able to extend his basketball camps for deaf and hard of hearing, you know, across the nation. And right now it's currently held down in Decatur, Georgia every year. And it's held actually, it starts Father's Day, and it goes that whole week in June, because to honor Mike's dad. That's what he does. He puts the camp on to honor his dad, who actually started the basketball program for deaf and hard of hearing kids at the Georgia School for the Deaf.
Well, congratulations on winning Best Inspirational Movie of the Year on this, as well as I know you won an award in Colorado. And he does these camps for free. I mean, he's like one of the only people that does that. I mean, Marlo Thomas, St. Jude, they have it free for kids, but not too many people do that. So he has to get donations and support and imagine this film.
You can go to spiritoflovemovie.com, and there's links there to Mike's camp, or it's mikeglenn.com, and people donate to him, and he wants to keep it free, and, you know, they bring in, you know, like the Waffle House will bring in food and feed them breakfast every morning and things like that,
great.
All of the campers. It's amazing because it's over 100 campers there, and it's just tremendous to watch. And then it ends at the end of the week. It ends with all-star games, a girls' all-star game and a boys' all-star game. Very similar, very parallel to the movie. And, you know, it was just an amazing thing. When I went down to the camps to kind of watch how they actually run it so that I could get it accurate in the film, you know, some of the kids signing to me and told me, please make sure that you caption this film because there's not enough films that are captioned that we can watch. Half the time we don't know what's going on. So, you know, they're like, please promise that you'll caption this film. So we actually... We had someone come forward that sponsored the captioning in our film, so that was a great blessing for us, and to be able to, you know, the sales, 50% of the proceeds from the film goes back to the Mike in the camps.
The woman that played the coach in the film was very good.
Thank you. That would be
so
me.
That would be you. Darla, you started as an actress, didn't you, before you got into the directing?
I did. I started as an extra, actually. Before that, I started in theater, community theater in Los Angeles, and Equity Theater. And then I made the transition to film when I was 18, and I did two films then. I did one with Max Baer at the helm as the director. You know, most people know him as Jethro, and that film was called Hometown USA. But then I did another indie film with John Carpenter. As it turned out, it was the original Halloween. And so, you know, that's really how I made the transition over to film. But I still like to act and be involved in the films. I had no intention of playing the coach in this film. Actually, I had somebody else in mind that ended up not being available. And then we held auditions, and most of the women that came couldn't dribble the ball. So actually it was the kids that came to me and said, Miss Darla, you should play the coach. And since I have been a coach in my life, coaching softball and basketball and volleyball, it
wow,
was
where did
just
you
kind
where
of,
did you coach, Darla?
I coached in Texas at Grace Christian School.
Wow.
And we actually
cool.
went to state in softball. So
wow.
Softball was really my game. I'm much more a softball gal than and volleyball than basketball, but because I'm a little bit short for basketball.
Were you a tomboy yeah. growing up?
Yes, I had brothers, and we rode motorcycles and raced, you know, and played football in the front yard. Growing up in California, you know, Christmas time, you're out there with everybody in the neighborhood. Everybody's playing football, and we're out there in shorts. So, yep, I grew up playing football and hardball, actually, in the street.
Now, starting as an actress, you went to a school that's a very well-respected school, the Academy of Dramatic Arts. What was that experience like?
It was an amazing experience, and I went at the age of 35, so I went a little bit older in life than most people.
Mm-hmm.
And our group was actually 35 to 57, our group, and which was unusual for the school. But it was you know, to have that intensive training every day, and
mm-hmm.
you go from acting class to, you know, voice to on-camera commercial. I mean, you're just saturated in it, and it's just a wonderful. It was a wonderful experience, and I'm sure that going there a little bit older in life, I probably most of us probably really we wanted to be there. We really had the passion and desire. It was something I had dreamed of doing my entire life and never had the opportunity. So when I got the opportunity, it was. Matter of fact, I've written a screenplay about it, and that's called Section B, and that'll be a project somewhere down the line, I hope. But we have some friends, you know, friendships that we've made for life. And interesting enough, not everybody that went to the academy in my group are still involved in the arts. Some of them, that was a stepping stone to show them that, hey, you can do if you put your mind to whatever it is. People went on to become attorneys and children's advocates and, you know, all different walks of life. I think there's only two of us, maybe three out of our whole group that are still involved in the industry as a result of that. So,
I mean, did that,
Did that surprise you? I mean, when you were back going to the school, did you think these folks are all going to be, you know, working great actors, or were you shocked that so, you know?
No, I think that for me, I think it was that everybody had their own reason. I mean, like, there was one guy in our group, the reason he was there was that he was walking down the sidewalk in Canada one day at lunchtime, and somebody had jumped off a building and killed themselves and fell right there at his feet. And he said he took that as a sign that he needed to do something radical, and he always wanted to do this. He didn't know if he'd be any good at it or if he ever wanted, you know, to go anywhere, any distance with it. But he sold everything, and he showed up at the academy. And as a result of that experience, it just changed him, and you know, he said he was never going to take anything for granted. So, I mean, people had all kinds of reasons for being there. You know, one person was a writer. She wanted to get in the head of actors and figure out what made them work, you know, what made an actor tick. So everybody had different reasons. And
so
am I surprised? A little.
You started as an actor, and then it was about 6-7 years ago you it's been, like, The Goal came out, when was it, 2005?
Well, it was released 2006, but we made it in 2005. Mm-hmm.
So let's see, just mathematically. So you started out as a child actor. What brought you into making your own films? How did the transition into directing happen for you?
Well, you know, what happened for me is that I started doing more and more in the theater, and actually directing big Christmas programs at my church. And, you know, I handled all the dramas, and we had, like, you know, 300 people involved in those productions. And
wow.
So my friend's son was training for the Olympics, and he was working out on a bicycle, and he had an accident and broke his neck. And as I watched the family and his story unfold, I kept thinking, "Wow, somebody needs it. This is a great story. This should be a great film." And so, 12 years later, I kept thinking, "Wow, somebody needs to tell that story." And I researched spinal cord injuries, traumatic brain injuries. I met all these incredible athletes. And finally, my best friend says to me, "Tell me again why you're not telling that story. You know that story." I go, "Well, I've never written a screenplay, and I don't have any money." And she's like, "Well, you have a little bit of money. I'll bet you could put that together for under $50,000. I'm like, "Okay, why not? I'll try it." Went and bought the software, wrote my first screenplay. And the interesting thing, after 12 years, I wrote this screenplay, the original screenplay, in less than a week's time, because it was already in me, the story. And it just like God poured the whole thing out on the paper quickly. And so that was really my transition, to be honest. It's kind of a radical, here, do it. It's in your face. Why are you not doing this? And sometimes I think, you know, we need that little catalyst nudge from somebody that believes in us.
Yeah, we sure do. Yeah, I had that same experience with Sister Amy, where I had all these note cards and papers and scraps, and Rance Howard finally said, "You've got the story. You could sit down and write it and lickety-split," and I did, and that's the same with you. It was inside you, and
yep.
Here it comes out and touches so many people. How about the technical side? How did you learn the technical side? Was making these films kind of your film score, or had you been learning prior to that, the camera stuff, the editing stuff?
Well, for me, I paid attention when I was acting, and even as an extra, I would drive people crazy. And even before that, my mother would drive me to CBS Studios from Azusa, California, downtown, you know, Hollywood, L.A., and I would watch all the sitcoms and variety shows being filmed. So I would kind of pay attention to what people's jobs were. And then I did the same thing when I'd be on a film set. Other people would be playing cards or games or talking. I was really paying attention. What does that guy do? Okay, that guy's the key dolly grip. Okay, well, now what is that guy? That guy's, you know. And then I made sure that I knew what everything was, but I was smart enough to know I don't know all those things. So I actually hooked up with some people that I had worked with and volunteered on some short student film projects doing makeup one day. They said, "Hey, we need someone who can do makeup. Can you do makeup?" I'm like, "Yeah, I can do makeup. I've done my own makeup for years, you know, in the theater." So I met some camera guys there and went back to them when I was going to make the goal. And, you know, we made our first feature film. And so I really learned on the set of what people do. And then sitting with my editors saying, look, I don't know what it is. I don't know about how to edit it, but I know I wanted to transition from this to this. Can you show me the different transitions? And so really that's how I learned. I mean, the goal was my film school. And every film, I learn something new. And every time you're on the set, for me, I learn something new.
Well, it was very inspiring and very touching for us having, you know, such a dear friend of ours that had an accident and became a quadriplegic. And I noticed a theme in your film, and I don't know if it was intentional or just divine intention and God's will, but your films really connect with underdogs and people that have to overcome these obstacles, and make me think of the scripture where Christ talks about whatsoever you do to the least of my brethren, that you do unto me. People that were disadvantaged in some way,
right,
that don't have a voice, you've given. Now in the new Spirit of Love, your most recent feature, again, it's having to overcome something. Did you always have a heart for the underdog?
You know, I do, and I think it came, to be honest, because one of my friends, well, first the first thing that happened, we moved to Azusa, and growing up in Azusa, one of the girls that I grew up with, she had a sister who has Down syndrome. And back then is when they would refer to them as mongoloid or even retarded. And she was just the sweetest thing. And another person who grew up in our neighborhood was Rocky Dennis from the movie Mask that Cher did. And so I just had that, I think I had that exposure early as a kid growing up with kids that had disabilities. And my mother was always adamant about, you know what, they may look different, they may act different, but you need to treat them the same. And so I kind of had that instilled in me. And, you know, and then I have a nephew. I did a documentary called Dandy Kids, and my nephew was born with Dandy Walker syndrome. And, you know, they said he would never walk or talk or sit up or do anything. And so as a result of researching that for the documentary, I met all these tremendous families around the world that were told the same story, but they didn't have all the information. So, you know, I didn't want to, I'll be honest, I didn't want to become the filmmaker about films with disabilities, but I do love underdog stories. I mean, me personally, those are the kinds of stories I like to watch. And so I think it was kind of I grew up with that. I have an understanding and a compassion for the, you know, those kinds of stories. So I think that's something that God just instilled in me. And those are the kinds of stories that keep coming to my plate. You know, people bring these stories to me. And so, you know, sometimes we have to just, you know, do what God brings us to do.
And if you're listening, you can see more information on Darla's film, Spirit of Love, the Mike Stinger Glenn story at spiritoflovemovie.com. And let's see, your main website, it's Filmit, film-itproductions.com. Am I remembering that right?
Yes, that's correct.
Film-itproductions.com, and that should, I don't know, did I get that right?
Yeah, that's correct. You're right.
Okay.
It's film-itproductions.com. Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay. I was second-guessing myself on that hyphen. There is a hyphen after film-it productions.
Yes.
And you can see Dandy Kids there. Now, Dandy Kids, you went to Congress to show that, didn't you? That must have been thrilling to go to D.C.
I was speechless. Even as I got out of the cab and walking up and going through security, the whole time carrying the DVD in my hand, thinking, I can't believe that this little film is coming to Congress. And as a result, they reappropriated research dollars. They were going to throw out Dandy Walker syndrome. They kind of threw it under the autism spectrum, and it was kind of buried. But then these two researchers, there were only two doing research on Dandy Walker syndrome, they were going to cancel their funding. And as a result of our film and us taking some of the families from the film to D.C., they reappropriated research dollars, so they continue to do the research and make advancement in that area and help lots of families. So it was just, it was surreal.
Well, you ever thought of running for president? Because of getting money out of this Congress, you're a miracle worker.
Yeah, no, I'll leave that to somebody else. I'll keep making underdog films.
I think you'll have more impact making the movie, so I'm glad you're going to keep making more films. And your next film coming up is Brian's Story, and have a lot of people listening that have family members in the military. Why don't you tell us about that? It's in pre-production right now, isn't it?
Yes, it is. Yeah, the screenplay is all written, and we had a great experience with a table read. It's really Brian's Story, Beyond the Grave, is about the first soldier from Houston, Texas, who was killed in Afghanistan. It's not a war story, but it's really about his faith in God and how he was a staff sergeant and how he treated his men and his family, and everybody just really admired him in the way he never, you know, looked down upon anybody, and did a lot for a lot of people. Even the day before he was killed, he had rescued, you know, hundreds of civilians. So it's his father actually came to a screening of Spirit of Love in Houston, Texas, at a film festival, and afterwards he came up to me and asked me, would I please tell his son's story? And so we're in the process of raising the funds for that. And really, that it's about his last letter home, because he wrote a lot of letters. I was honored and privileged enough to read some of his high school essays from his senior year, stating why he was going in the military, why he felt that it was a calling. And it's really the result of the last letter home. That letter has actually gone around the world, and many, many pastors and leaders have read that letter to their groups, and it has changed people's lives, and they've been inspired even after Brian's no longer here. So that's why we call it Beyond the Grave. And that, again, will benefit. They have a ministry in Brian's name, his father does, that they minister and help fallen soldiers' families and wounded soldiers. So that film will also benefit our military that way.
You really persevered, and I think when I think about the fact your class, the Academy of Dramatic Arts, how you said that you were one of a handful that are still doing it years later, what is it about you that you think you were able to be the finisher and keep going? What qualities or strengths do you have, you think, that you have been an artistic killer who executes the film, gets it finished no matter what? What is it about you that you're able to do that?
Well, for me, you know, it comes from God. It just, that's what drives me. It's kind of like how in Brian's story, Brian knew he was called to help people, and he wanted to serve his country. I just feel like, there's something in me that I just can't not do it. And when people say, we can't do that, well, I will figure out a way. You know, and it's interesting. There's times where I'll wake up in the middle of the night and it's like, oh, that's it. And it's like, okay, God dropped that into my head, and I'll just go take that step forward. But one of the things I've learned is that if you don't go out there and do it, it's always a thought and an idea. If you got to make a plan, you have to sit down and just say, okay, I'm going to go do this, and how am I going to execute this? And be smart enough to bring a lot of people around you that know the things that you don't know, you know. And for me, my mom was an underdog. She was, 15 years old when she had me in 1958. And if she listened to everybody back then, I wouldn't be here. But she had this perseverance, and I really... You know, and she had this thing about helping people, and once you say you're going to do something, you have to go do it. And it's just something that, that's part of me. I can't always explain it. It's just one of those things you have to do.
So your mom really was an example and put those basic values in you, huh?
Yes, absolutely. I mean, she loved life and she loved helping other people. Even back in her day, she would bake a cake just so she could raffle tickets and give the money to the City of Hope to help some family. So it was, you know, you use the things that God gives you, and how you do it, it just, you know, I think we all have that. And I know I was listening to somebody earlier today, and I actually put it on my Facebook that, you know, it's true. You can love those that love us easier than those that hate us. That's really where the battle is. We have to love others in spite of that. And I think if we keep that at the center of whatever we're doing, whether it's we're making film, we're writing novels, we're coaching kids, you know, if you keep that at the center, and God is the center of love for me, then you're doing what you're supposed to do.
Mm. So we got to love our enemies. That's not easy, especially those that criticize our films.
Yeah, that
and that's one of the fears.
Yeah.
How do you handle the critics? How do you handle the negative, nasty people?
Oh, boy, that's tough because, you know, they are just waiting. They're waiting in the wings before you even finish the film. They're waiting to bash you, but yet they're not out there making films. And, you know,
big point right there, Darla. Yeah, Roosevelt said it's not the critic who counts; it's the one in the arena doing the deed.
Exactly. And you know, here's my philosophy. There are a lot of independent filmmakers, and there's a ton of genres that people like to make. I personally like to make inspirational films. You know, have I made other films? Yes, I've made horror films even. And you know, it's not a competition to me. It's not a competition, but people make it a competition, so therefore they want to bash your work. And it's like, you know, I don't necessarily like horror films. That, you know, that's why I don't make them often. But, you know, if somebody else is comfortable making that, great. Go make a horror film or go make an action film or do whatever it is that you feel called to do, but you don't have to like what I make. That's okay, because there are plenty of people that do like what I make. And, you know, if it was if we were in this business for making films for what people like or for the money, as an independent filmmaker, we would have left the industry a long time ago.
Mm. Yeah, it's funny, too. If you go on Amazon, you can pick any film that, you know, you or I or most people would say is a masterpiece film and look up, you know, On the Waterfront or Gone with the Wind or whatever, and you'll find there's people on there giving it one star and saying it's crap. And, I mean, even, you know, there's not a film alive that escapes criticism, so we've just got to do our work the best that we can, huh?
Well, exactly. I mean, when you think about it, think about Gravity. I have read so many things about Gravity. I haven't seen it, which is really interesting that I haven't seen it since I used to work with NASA. So, you know, I'm well-versed in having knowledge about, you know, space and space station and all of that. But I've heard nothing but bad things. And I'm like, well, somebody thought it was good because they went to see it in the theaters. It won awards from, you know, their peers, but still, you can line up any Academy Award-winning film, and you're still going to find, you know, tons of people that bash those.
Movies win the Oscars, and people are saying, "Why did that win? That didn't deserve the Oscars." So, I'm glad
it's all
that.
All relative.
Yeah, it really is relative, and keep on doing these wonderful films. We're very excited about Spirit of Love getting out there and more screenings, and as well as watching Brian's story move from pre-production to production into
release.
Which
you're going to come and be a guest actor and work with me on that film, right?
Well, I'm really honored to be there for you anytime for the call of duty to be there for Darla Ray. I am there, man. I am there.
Same here, Richard. I really appreciate you and love you guys, and I'm so grateful that our films were connected.
Yeah,
way back when.
I'm so grateful, too. We love you, too. And they keep telling me we have just a few seconds left. Time flies when you're having fun, huh?
I know, huh?
So the best way to reach you for people interested is the film-itproductions.com.
That's correct. And there, you know, there's contact information there. If somebody wants to get a hold of me, that's how you can do it.
Mm-hmm. Great, great. Well, keep up the wonderful work. We're very excited, and you've touched so many lives. And, you know, I think about, it might sound cliche, about the process is just as important as the product, or the, you know, the journey is just as important as the destination. But when I look at your work with the goal and Spirit of Love, I think the lives touched, you know, these kids that participated in Spirit of Love and what Mike Glenn has done, the process already has been life-changing. It's really made a difference. You know, you've already baked the cake. I mean, what happens in terms of distribution and awards and all
right.
that is like icing on the cake. But you've really, I'm sure, aware that just the very doing of the work and the way that you do it, the stories you pick, has touched hearts and lives in and of itself in the very doing of the film.
I would agree with you there, because I have so many stories of, you know, even on Spirit of Love, some of these kids, I had no idea that as I cast these kids in the characters that I went back and rewrote the script for these kids that did show up at the auditions, because they didn't quite fit the original screenplay. But as it would turn out, each one of those kids, as I cast them, they were dealing with that very same subject in their real life. Whatever their struggle was in the film, in real life. So we did see kids' lives change. And, you know, we've had people come up to us after screenings that, you know, thanked us because we captioned the film, and they have a loved one that is deaf or hard of hearing. And so when you, those little morsels, I mean, you cannot buy those little morsels. Those are those little nuggets that you just keep hold of when things get difficult, and you go, that's why I do what I do.
Wow. Well, thank you. And until we meet again, God bless you, Darla Ray.
Thank you. God bless you too, Richard. Talk to you soon.
Talk to you soon. And God bless all of you for listening in and supporting this show. All my love to all of you until we broadcast again. And you can click follow and get notified of upcoming shows.